First of all, I would like to bring Dr. Jones' apology for not being able to come personally due to some earlier commitment. He's got to be at the CADE process in Burkina Faso as well about the same time, and that's the main reason why he's not here. And on his behalf, I present his talk to this audience on the expectations and emerging issues in African agricultural research. Forum for Agricultural Research and Development, as mentioned by Dr. Wolfmart, it's an umbrella organization. Our focus is on advocacy and resource mobilization for African agricultural research to garner the political will and commitment of our African leaders to invest more in African agricultural research, to form the necessary partnerships and linkages both within Africa and outside Africa for greater productivity and impact, and offer opportunities for exchange of information and learning experiences across issues and, of course, capacity building, the innovation capacity of African ARP. So basically, this presentation will be focusing on some of the issues that African agriculture is bedeviled with. Dr. Wolfmart talked about the African agriculture being small scale. It's a fact, and it's labor intensive. But agriculture is the industry of Africa. If we're going to lift people out of poverty, we've got to invest in agriculture to be able to do that. The development challenges of African agriculture in particular would include adverse climatic conditions, issues of drought as an example, low poor soil fertility and hence productivity, low productivity, poor quality of products and impact on markets or relationship with markets. In particular, he talked about adoption of technologies. There is certainly low dissemination of technology and adoption. The institutions are weak, and the infrastructure is largely poor. The markets are small and fragmented, and of course, the high disease burden, not only HIV/AIDS, but the long-term one, including malaria. African agriculture, too, has not performed well in this since, based on this graph, the period up to the 1992, but as a result of focus, commitment, and renewed interest in African agriculture, we're beginning to see a steady trend both in growth and GDP contribution of around 5%. Now, the Africans themselves have taken the leadership responsibility to push agriculture and bring it to the forefront, and hence the international community is responding as appropriate. For instance, the African Union and NEPAD, New Partnership for Africa Development, came up with an Africa Comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program. This is what we call the CADEP. This is the instrument that directs agricultural productivity in terms of bigger picture vision. The 6% agricultural growth, annual growth that it targets. How to get there, it describes that. And it's focused on pillars. We find that, we believe that issues of land and water are critical, and that will drive pillar one of CADEP. Rural infrastructure, markets related issues, feeder roads to get products out into the markets, etc., are critical. Food security, increasing availability and access to food. And then pillar four, which is agricultural research, technology dissemination, and adoption, for which FARA, the Forum for Agricultural Research that Dr. Jones leads, has responsibility. And it is focusing on integrated natural resource management, adaptive management of appropriate germplasm, development of sustainable markets, policies for sustainable agriculture. And pillar four is cross-cutting. So none of these pillars are standalone pillar. They are what we call mutually reinforcing pillars. Progress on any one of them or non-progress in any one of them will affect the other. In that regard, FARA has to look at the continental approach to agricultural research. And in 2007, we came up with the way out of it is enhancing African agricultural innovation capacity. And that came out because we have a more, since 2002 when the organization was founded, many political, economic, and agricultural ARD changes took place in Africa. For instance, we have a more assertive African Union, well-organized, well-disciplined, and focused on what they want to do. We have the regional economic communities, the COMESAs, the ECOWAS, an example, play a more important catalytic role. We have the more strengthened sub-regional research organizations, indeed, which has direct relevance to this meeting, the ASERECA in Eastern Africa, CORAF, WECAD in Western Africa, Western and Central Africa, SADC FANA in Southern Africa, and now, since 2005, Northern Africa has become a member to make it more complete to be able to link sub-Saharan Africa to Northern Africa as well. And then the CADEP, as I told, has been developed. Now, within the CADEP, because of Pillar 4, which is research-oriented, FARA has the responsibility given by the African Union and NEPAD, and we had to develop a tool that guides the delivery targets for Pillar 4, and that is what we call the Framework for African Agricultural Productivity, FAP. The strategic plan in the next 10 years of FARA is focused on agricultural productivity, competitiveness, markets in Africa. I think Wolfman talked about our smallholders respond to markets, and this is true, but the markets are not sustainable, they are fragmented, etc. So we talked of broad-based in terms of inclusiveness of the stakeholders. Poor consumers, entrepreneurs, and of course farmers has to be in the center of the strategy in terms of stakeholder and partnership. Improve agricultural productivity, not just of productivity, but the uptake of technologies. And I'm happy that Dr. Wolfman referred to that. Then we have improved agricultural competitiveness, the issue of markets, the prices, the quality, etc. Then the infrastructure, and then, of course, environment and social and economic gains and institutions related to that. So we have to organize ourselves into what we call networking support functions that underpins the efforts of the SROs and the National Agricultural Research Systems. And here we don't only mean the institutions of research, but farmer organizations, NGOs in agriculture, the private sector, agribusiness, etc. This is the concept we are promoting in Africa, not the NARI concept, National Agricultural Research Institute concept of leading technology development all the time. We've done that for 40 years. We want to see a more inclusive system where everybody plays an active role based on your comparative or collaborative advantage. So we are organized into advocacy and resource mobilization, access to knowledge and technologies, policies, markets, capacity strengthening, partnerships, and strategic alliances. Each of these network functions, a group of activities we read to resolve. For instance, when we talk of advocacy and resource mobilization, we would like to see supportive environment for agricultural A&D. The environment has to be supportive, have to be favorable for agricultural research and development. When we talk of access to knowledge, it is the stakeholders that should have the necessary capacity to innovate. So the research targets and outputs, outcomes should be focused on how to innovate with stakeholders, the people, the end users. That is the key that has been missing, we believe. Then the issue of policies, we want to be able to come up with the strategic options in terms of policies and markets that are desirable for African agriculture, issues of inter-regional trade, more so than that is the first priority. Then the second priority would be WTO. We feel that we have more opportunity between ourselves from one region or another to promote. WTO is important, but we may not be able to fit in quite well if we don't have the quality right. The capacity to innovate, the human capacity strengthening, and CRISP has been very strong in this, and they can continue to have a focus and a major role to play. Then we have the partnership arrangements, what we are talking about here today. The SROs, the ASERECAs, the CORAF, etc., and the national system, of course, the farmer is the driver. He's focused on farming. We have issues of crop cutting, such as poor growth and growth-oriented. Whatever we do, this is what we want to see in African agriculture now. innovation systems approach, not the linear approach of research, developing technology, passing it to extension to the farmer. We think it's gone. It has not made the desired impact. We have to move on. Gender sensitive, gender responsive, uses of AIDS, HIV, AIDS, and malaria, environmental sustainability of whatever we do, and then compliance with the FAB principles and guidelines. These are the networking for support sons we talked about, and in each of these, the current FARA projects focus on some of these, and I'll go, these things won't mean much to you now, so I'll just go and you'll see them later. These are some of the initiatives that are already on the ground in Africa that we are pushing on. So the CADEP is the instrument that drives and guides, FAP, the Framework for African Agricultural Productivity, is the principal document that guides the implementation of CADEP Pillar 4, which is research. This has been endorsed by African heads of state in their 7th ordinary session and call on governments and the regional economic communities to realign the agricultural productivity to FAP. So it would be important for CRIPS and its partners to be able to look at this document and see what the expectations of African stakeholders are. This would be critical. We want to address issues of capacity weaknesses. Dr. Wortmann talked about that. Insufficient end user involvement, effective farmer support systems, the innovation capacity, the issue of external support, and then inadequate investment in general. Hopefully, if we do that, the 4% growth in agricultural productivity would be able to contribute to the overall target of 6% agricultural productivity to be able to, although this is already, there are trends that this may no longer be sufficient, time has moved on, but the fact remains that we got to start somewhere, and that is the beginning point. In FAP, we are looking at first evolution and reform of agricultural institutions and services. In other words, the research, extension, and training institutions within Africa need to reform to be able to take care of the end users in particular. We've had so much focus on the NARIS and the public extension service. Then the African governments themselves must be able to increase the scale of the investment, and we have been able to get them to commit themselves to 10% of GDP to agricultural research and development in their countries. And then if that is done, then the development partners and others are in a position now to better focus on our priorities, our actions, and our targets. And however, they themselves need to be able to align and coordinate their support. And this has been fragmented over the years. There is need to do that in many ways, not necessarily to save a common basket of funding, but information, giving appropriate information to each other who is doing what, where, and at what level of support. So CADEP Pillar 4 has three levels of intervention. At the regional level, this is where FARA is. We are involved in advocacy and partnerships and mobilizing resources. At the sub-regional level, for instance, we have the West Africa Agricultural Productivity Program. In Southern Africa, you have the Multi-Country Agricultural Productivity Program. And these are the issues that they address in those instruments. And at the national level, it is focused on poverty reduction. How can you lift people out of poverty? That's the big challenge at the national level. And issues of markets become important. Demand-driven, knowledge sharing, synergies, etc. So the action is a funnel. Much of the action is here, and that's where we're going to have the impact. In that regard, I talked to you about some of the projects that we have. This is a Sub-Saharan Africa Challenge Program. It's in the same line as the CGIAR Challenge Program. In fact, it is a CGIAR program for now. They are backing, they are supporting it in many ways. And what we are trying to do here is to promote integrated agricultural research for development, to get out of this idea of linear research developing technology on its own, extension delivering the technology to farmer doing that. It didn't work. So we are proposing integrated agricultural research for development in order to increase the impact of African agricultural research. And that will require institutional innovations in ARD approaches to address the shortcomings, or to address our current shortcomings. An approach that aims to overcome these shortcomings is the IAR40. This is what Africans believe. We have to be able to integrate our systems, our partners, the value chain, to be able to address the issue. So it's rooted in innovation systems where research and development are not linear anymore and involves actors. When we say actors, relevant actors, it's not just any actor you just bring in. For any value chain, who are the critical actors that must be part of these innovation systems to be able to deliver? The research itself must be demand-driven, participatory. In the 90s, we saw a lot of participatory approaches coming up, but still they lack certain elements of the innovation systems approach. Some of these things we know worked in certain industrialized countries in terms of innovation, but in SSA, in sub-Saharan Africa, this remains a challenge. What is critical here, what we have found in this program, is that cross-site support team provides technical backstopping. This is the Africa does not have this capacity. Maybe CRIS is an opportunity here if they are well positioned to do this. So we have to put in an international team that comprises Africans and non-Africans to be able to support the task forces that are out there in the field to be able to do IAR40 better. It is an initial stage of implementation. It's just starting this year in 2007 in terms of actual field implementation. The framework has already been developed over the last 18 months. The issues of those IAR40 concept work and can it generate or deliver international or regional public goods? We are not only interested in international public goods, but if they can deliver regional public goods, then that makes a significant contribution. Regional public goods here, meaning between sub-regions in Africa, between countries in Africa, if there are processes and approaches that and then outcome indicators that are useful for that area. Does IAD deliver more benefits to end users? We have to prove this if we're going to. It is not just talking about it. Is it any better than the conventional approach, the linear research extension approach? So how sustainable is IAR40 itself? And outside, maybe more importantly, the test environment. And this is the kind of organization we have seen around it. It is based on a platform concept where policymakers and rural communities, etc., practitioners and researchers work together on technology or the research interface, action research to increase effectiveness of the innovation platform, and investigating the process to generate principles for developing and improving effectiveness of IAR40. This is a pilot. To be able to move on this, we have to come up with pilot learning sites. We have three projects per site, and there is cross-site research to extract generalizable outcomes or indicators. We have one across Nigeria and Niger. We call it Kano-Katsina-Maradi site. We have one for Southern Africa between Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Mozambique. And we have one in Eastern Africa, Uganda, RDC, and Rwanda. And then we hope that the more we are able to move in, we will be able to scale out within this region in Western Central Africa and similarly in these two regions and allow for cross-learning between these sub-countries. Dr. Wattman talked about dissemination of our technologies, adoption. This is a key challenge. And NEPAD and the African Union has initially recognized certain technologies that have made great successes in various parts of Africa. But in isolated cases, they've not been able to go out scale. And they've picked some of these, and this is because of Dr. Jones, the Nerica rice as an example. Because of this, he won the World Food Laureate. So these are some of the technologies. But we are saying it is not only related. Because of this idea of innovation, IR4D, we are fully aware that in many parts of Africa, especially in dryland Africa, farmers are innovating by themselves. You go to Burkina Faso, you go to Niger, you look at these high pits how they do conservation, agriculture in terms of manure, water. This is farmers that did it. It worked well. How do we integrate all that in this innovation system approaches? Okay, the African Union itself has looked at itself and said, look, at the level of the African Union, we believe that there are certain commodities that we need to identify as continental priority commodities for our people. And these are some of those commodities. They looked at it and decided that at the sub-regional level, the African Union may not have a comparative advantage. The sub-regional organizations and the regional economic communities should work on some of those commodities, more focused, and similarly at the SRO level. Because of that, the sub-regional organizations, with this part, we have one project. This is project focused, again, the African Development Bank. They have been able to, based on these decisions that has been taken by the African Union, tailor certain commodities for this particular project for which we got money for. Cassava and maize in West and Central Africa, QPM maize and orange fleece potato in Eastern Africa, OVP maize and sorghum in Southern Africa. We believe strongly that innovation capacity will be the key to deliver and be able to achieve what we want. So we have a project that, fortunately, this is funded by DFID, Strengthening Capacity for Agricultural Research and Development in Africa. And as we all know, that structures, systems, and roles are critical in capacity development. But again, to be able to do that, the staff, this is just linking onto the staff and the infrastructure. The structures has to be there, the system has to, and the staff have to have effective roles. The skills of the staff will also be critical, and the tools they use. And I think CRIPS is not only involved in MSCs. I've been in the national system for long, so I know, and I know they have been useful in imparting skills, research skills out there in the field, managing data, being able to do proper recording, analyzing it. These are some of the skills that continue to be needed, not only the PhDs and the MSCs, the conventional research approaches. And this, I think, CRIPS should continue to focus on some of these alongside with PhDs and MSCs. The SCADA implementation plan has two components, strengthening competencies and capacities, and then strengthening capacity for professional development. This is component B. This is where the skills issues come in. They must be able to have the soft and the hard skills to be able to manage research plots, research management itself, being able to communicate better, being able to write better proposals, etc., etc. These are the areas that this particular component is focusing on. That agricultural research management system competencies, some of the outputs that it will deliver is management systems and competencies in terms of high quality research, capacity of the African to undertake the quality research for sustainable, agriculture research for development sustainably strengthened. We have to be able to deliver quality research. The tertiary educational institutions, the Nebraska's, I call it NASLUC, land grant universities of the U.S. and colleges, has a role to play in this particular area. SCADA approach for strengthening capacity must be documented. We just don't want, we've seen these projects come and go in Africa, and at the end of the day, you just leave what we call institutional memory. Somebody leaves and he goes with everything. We want to move beyond that. We must be able to see this documentation taking place and institutionalized. So we also have a project, at an infancy stage, which we call BASIC, Building African Agricultural Institutional, Scientific and Institutional Capacity, whereby the African universities set the priority and the agenda. And then, based on what are the key learning methods, what are the teaching materials needed, and then the Western universities, or even Asian universities, non-African partners in universities, and in the case of the U.S., NOSLAGIC, is that the thing? Land grant universities and colleges will be critical. And then the international agricultural research institutions What we have there is that so that we can have improved teaching and learning institutions in Africa. And to be able to do that, the materials, the needs will have to be identified by the Africans, no doubt about that. But the support can come from external universities in the US, in Europe, and in Asia, the CG centers that have certain capacity in Africa, and then together they will be able to provide us with these improved teaching and learning materials and institutions. We're looking at also information communication and learning experience and knowledge management. And as you can see, we are organized into four sub-regions: Northern Africa, Eastern Africa, Western and Central Africa, and Southern Africa. And the idea here is FARA, as an umbrella of the organization, has the comparative advantage of enhancing and promoting agricultural knowledge and technology, access management, etc., and strengthening the stakeholders. And ICT is the key to be able us to, that will enable us to do that. And we are organized in, at that level in terms of FARA. We have the Regional Agricultural Information and Learning Systems, and these are the SROs, the sub-regional organization. They also have their learning mechanisms and tools and information exchange tools. And then at the national level, the sub-regional agricultural research, agricultural information systems are linked to the national information system, which we call national focal point. And the CABIS, et cetera, they become important. Oh, I think I'm there. So we're also looking at agricultural biotechnology and biosafety. This is a big issue, and mainly is in terms of partnerships, linkages, promoting awareness, and focusing on capacity strengthening, because the key is capacity strengthening. And here we are looking at frameworks, being able to talk, to see how best to harmonize so that if hybrid X is approved in one sub-region, it can easily move to another sub-region because it's already gone some of the rigorous tests and environmental assessment, etc., etc. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and if there are any issues.